Say good morning to all. And I bring the love and greetings from the dear saints in St. Kitts and Nevis. And before I came, some of the brethren from Jamaica asked me to convey their love and greetings. Some couldn't make it because of financial constraints. It's very expensive, as you know, to fly in the Caribbean. They locked up Mr. Sanford. Caribbean Star and Caribbean Sun is no more. And we at the mercy of Liat. So I think even the time has come where we need to pray for another airline. So at least there will be some competition that the saints will be able to travel. But saints, it's a joy to be here. A joy to be in St. Vincent. I know some of you don't know that part of me is from St. Vincent. Yeah. My grandmother is from St. Vincent. So Brother Mac, you didn't know that, but I'm letting you know now. So I have rights to St. Vincent, eh? Right. So I'm staking my claim. Now, saints, we have it. We want to read that verse again in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. This is the theme verse we have for the Caribbean Bible Conference, Caribbean Believers Bible Conference. Since the state of things developing before us is very alarming. We are not talking only worldwide, we are speaking also in relation to the Caribbean. Red lights are flashing. And there are signs that are telling us, you know, it's time to stop. It's time to really evaluate where we are going, where we are heading. Things socially, things politically, and things religiously. I know most of the Caribbean have heard of the election in St. Kitts and Nevis. These are the signs of the times. Men don't want to give up power. But we thank the Lord that He rules in the kingdom of men. And He give it to whomsoever He will. He raise up, He bring down, that men may understand that the Most High is still on the throne. You know, we are living in days where the foundations are being shaken. The very foundations of society. Because it's alarming, it's frightening to think an institution of marriage, the oldest institution on the planet, is being questioned. The foundations are being challenged. But you know, in Psalm 11, and I believe it's verse 3, if the foundations can be destroyed, what will the righteous do? But the apostle in the second book of Timothy tells us, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Them that name the name of Christ, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And they that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Indeed, the future is in doubt. People are frightened about the future. But the Apostle Paul reminds us as Christians. He says, I know in whom I believed. And he is persuaded that he is able to keep that which he has committed unto him against that day. So in spite of the future that looks out from human eyes, we know, brethren, that our future is sure, it's secure. We are waiting for the coming of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he promised that he's going to come and he will not tarry. Also, the activities presently is very destructive. Very, very destructive. You see the Middle East. But there are destructive elements in the Caribbean. You know, it's amazing, you know, as I look out on the Caribbean. In every island, it seems the norm is give them as much threat as they could get. Enjoy yourself. Jump up. Not telling me about this moral life. Yeah? Enjoy yourself from Trinidad right up to Jamaica. Everybody, and I know an individual. Indeed, in Barbados, they had a crop over. In St. Lucia. Here in St. Vincent. Vinci Mass. All these things, it's alarming what is happening, and it is attracting the flesh. What are we to do in these days? I would like to turn to a verse in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. And verse 16. It tells us there, thus said the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. This is the day in which we live. No return to the things that God has laid out in his word. It's too narrow. It's too conservative. And indeed, it's not the time for this kind of living. You know, I have to confess. You know what attracted me to the fellowship? What attracted me to the fellowship was the truth of God's word. The authority of God's word was maintained. I tell you, and practice. Indeed, the saints practically was living godly lives. Worldliness was kept in check. And I tell you, the ministry was edifying. And the meetings were well attended. I tell you, the saints embraced Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. Man, the meetings used to be packed. And indeed, I tell you, the prayer meeting, the ministry meeting, there used to be 3 meetings in the week. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And everybody was there. I tell you, I was amazed. And there was a brother who sat up in the corner who used to say the word, sweet, 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 the word is sweet. Brother Clement, I said, what is he seeing in the word? Indeed, that he's saying this. Well, I tell you, it was amazing. After the brother went on a little operation and the Lord called him home, after I says, where's the brother who used to say sweet, sweet up in the corner there? They said he died. The Lord called him home. Saints, I was cared for. Ashton could say amen to that. I was cared for. The saints, fellowship around the saints. I was attracted to brethren. The brethren I know now is a different set of brethren. Different set of brethren. I am telling you, it was real evangelical. We were on the streets on Saturdays from 12 in the day to 7 at night. Nursing homes. We used to go all over the place singing. Now I say to myself, what has gone wrong? Something has gone wrong. Is this the same fellowship? Yes, it is. And I tell you, saints, we need to sit back. We need to evaluate and say with the words of God by Jeremiah, stand in the way. In the way, see and ask for the old paths, with the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Is things better? Is things better when you look back? No, we'll have to say it's not as good as it used to be. Things has really fallen apart. I want to bring 4 individuals in relation to this understanding. Understanding in the Bible means I learn from the unhappy experiences of others. I learn it myself. I don't have to go down the road and do certain things to realize that's wrong. I learn from sin. And what is striking in the, I want to turn to the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 3. First Kings chapter 3 with Solomon. It tells us Solomon, God asked Solomon, ask. And in verse 7, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out and to come in. And thy servant in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, is great, and cannot be numbered, nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart, to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Here is Solomon asking God for wisdom. In other words, an understanding heart to administrate for God, to judge for God. And he built the house of God. In the book of Ezra, Ezra came, chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8, verse 15. And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava. And there abode we intense 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priests and found there were none of the sons of Levi. He sent and he asked for men of understanding. In verse 18, and by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought unto us a man of understanding. This is what we're looking for. Now, in Solomon, indeed, it was understanding, indeed, wisdom for administrative duties, to judge for God, and also to build for God. Here is priestly work. We need men of understanding also. We turn in Samuel. 1 Samuel. Chapter 24, I believe. 25. Yes, 25. And verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal. And the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was curlish. He was hard and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. Imagine what to do in the time of difficulties is what is before us in Abigail. Difficult time. David was out to kill. And oh, this wise woman stopped him. But the theme that we have is, and the children of Issachar, which were men, that were, had understanding of the time to know what Israel should do. Now, saints, let's get a little history before we proceed. The history is this. Upon the death of Saul, David was anointed king in Hebron over the tribe of Judah. But to be king over the nation was rejected. And Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was set up over the northern and eastern tribes, the book of Samuel tells us. For 7.5 years, there was dispute of succession, there was civil war, and the Philistines had dominated the place. Let's put it in today's application in the New Testament language. There was jockeying for position. I want to be king. I want to be in charge of Israel. There was divisions. Is it true amongst us? There was divisions. And the Philistines, which are carnal religion, was dominating the place. The Philistines are in the land. They came out of Egypt. They never went through the Red Sea. They never went through the wilderness. They never crossed the Jordan. But they enjoying the place that God had given to his people. And this is what is happening to us. It's amazing. In the midst of all of this, the people of God is worried what to do. Where are the answers? This is a challenge even for us. Where are the answers? We want answers. But they recognize the tribe of Issachar. Recognize the men. Recognize, listen, we got to do something, you know. It's time. It's time for us to really make David, indeed follow David and make him king, because they realize and they look back at David's history and realize indeed the leadership that David gave was a tremendous leadership. David's leadership came to light. He was anointed among his brethren. But when they saw David went against Goliath, and his brother said, why you came up here? Because your naughtiness, he says, is there not a cause? And you hear this man defying the armies of the living God. He says, listen, I kill a bear, I kill a lion, and I'll take out this uncircumcised Philistines. Indeed, Saul was shaken like a leaf, and Saul was scared. And indeed, he put on, as we know, he put on Saul's armor. David says, I've not proven this. He says, listen, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He says, and Goliath, and he came up there. Listen, boy, you little thing, you come up here to fight against me. I'm a man of war. Indeed, and I'll feed you to the fowls of the air. And all the talk he had, David brought him down. The people were so scared. The moment Goliath fell, the people, like they said, but the moment David raised his head, boy, there was a shout in the camp. Indeed, he's really dead. And then they asked, indeed, whose son is he? Whose son is this stripling? Where he come from? Eh? This was the same young fella who used to play music before Saul to calm his evil spirit that came upon him. Never recognized David. But now he's recognized. As he saw him in leadership. Listen, that this leadership that David exhibited was leadership by example. It's not like the generals, indeed, in the United States and these places. Sorry, Brother Corin. Indeed. Listen. Instead, they stay in a room and strategize the war. No, David as the general was in the front of the battle. This is leadership. He says, I'll take the fight to the enemy. And when they saw this, they look back. Anyway, let's look at in 1 Samuel, please, for a few verses. First Samuel chapter 18. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 35, And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this? Is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said unto him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Now we ask ourselves, indeed after the defeat of the enemy of our souls, we can ask, whose son is he? We have to say, he's the son of the living God. It's the Lord Jesus has gotten the victory over the enemy of our souls. And then in chapter 18, verse 14, he says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 15, wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid. Then in verse 25, and Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly and say, behold, the king had delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore, be king. Be the king's son-in-law. Verse 30, and the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. That all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. I tell you, what a blessing is this young man. Anointed. Saints, we want to really bring before us, having understanding of our times, what we should do. Three things I want to dwell on this morning. I want to dwell on the leadership. I want to dwell on lordship. And I want to dwell on headship. Three things seen in David. David, as I say, as a leader, set forth some wonderful examples for us. He was a man after God's own heart. In spite of his failures, when he is presented in the book of Hebrews, none of his failures come to light, because it's like the judgment seat of Christ. Is what was done for Christ is going to be magnified and glorified. It says by faith, David. By faith, David. But since as we look at the departure, as we look at the breakdown, as we look at the coldness of the heart, we ask ourselves, why? Why is this? What? Is the word of God changed? No. Is the Lord changed? No. Well, what has changed? Us. We have changed. And we need to look at our hearts. Me personally. And see where I have gotten cold, and the zeal that I once had is not there anymore. And the love for the Lord and the commitment to divine things has weaned. But the Lord is saying, listen, as the children of Israel came to this point in their history, and they turned to make David their leader, made him their king, and made him the head of the nation, is a wonderful example for us. These things have happened unto them for our learning, to whom the end of the age has come. Listen, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. It says, wherefore, seeing then we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weights and the sins which just so easily beset us. And let us run with endurance, with patience, this race that is set before us. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of all faith. Since this is a path of faith, this is not a path of sight. This is a path of faith, and the Lord Jesus has trodden it all the way. He was, indeed, and He is, the leader of our faith. And then when I think of the verse in the book of Habakkuk, where it's first said, the just shall live by faith, it was difficult for him. Indeed, Habakkuk was puzzled how God is using the wicked to judge the righteous. God says, hey, he questioned God. God says, listen, I used him, but he went too far. He asked God another question. He says, I don't understand. When are you going to bring judgment upon these people? And I tell you, when you look at ISIS, you ask, how long? How long? Indeed, the saints are going to suffer. Just a few days ago, El Shabaab killed 100-something Christians. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Well, go in that line. You Muslim? Go in that line. You Hindu? Go there. Gun down the Christians. Well, what happened? We like sheep for the slaughter. Huh? It seems as though we're defenseless. But indeed, the consolation sense is absent from the bodies present with the Lord. It costs something to be a Christian in those lands. Here, boy, you could come anytime. Yeah, we be back talking and say what we want. We come to church when we want, so to speak. But in those places, I tell you, saints, it's amazing. Larry could tell you, Sam could tell you, and some of us who have gone to Africa, how the people are hungry for the word. They can't get enough. And if you believe you're going to speak for an hour, you're out of your mind. Huh? You have to speak whole day. And we are waiting. After an hour, if I stay an hour and a half here, I tell you some saints will get up and walk and says, well, we need some water and all kind of stuff. These people sit down hungry for the word. And you ask ourselves, leadership. Leadership, what happened? We have leaders amongst us. And everyone have failures. But there's no failure in our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, indeed, they had to take their eyes off of the men who was drunk for power. Indeed, who was causing division. And likewise, indeed, those, indeed, that was bringing in all these things. Hey, turn your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of all faith. Look at him. Indeed, as he led. Indeed, listen, he went out, you know. He went to the cross. Indeed, he says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shearers is dumb. And in that same Hebrews says, consider him. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in your mind. Oh, indeed, Christians are so easily discouraged today. It's impossible. Listen, my motto is, you know, I fail to be discouraged. Indeed, nobody going to rob my joy. No, sir, I am going to fight for it. Why? Because the enemy, the greatest tool, Satan was outside the door. Is a just a little parable. And he was sitting out by the step. And he says, Satan, what are you doing here? See what you mean? I'm here. He says, Satan, which is the biggest tool? I saw his fornication. He said, no, sir. I use it. It was not that. He says, greed and covetousness. I use that too. We say, you know, my biggest tool is discouragement. I love to get them discouraged. Long as I get you discouraged. Boy, I tell you, that's why this leader, boy, it tells us by faith Enoch, by faith Abel, by faith all these men in the hall of fame. I tell you, but when you turn your eyes upon Jesus, the path of obedience, he did it completely. Dependence, surrender. When you look at him, indeed, there is no flaw in the Lord Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, He endured a cross, despising the shame, and is now seated down at the right hand of the majesty on high. No one could discourage him. No one. He set his face as a flint. He says, I came here to glorify God. And at the end of it, he said, Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. And now glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Remember in John 12:13, he said, Father, glorify thy name. He said, I've glorified it already and I'll glorify it again. The man of faith, saints, you know, it's amazing, you know. If we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, boy, we could do some exploits. Where is your faith? The Lord Jesus asks his disciples. Faith? We had a brother, Shaver Walker. Ashton knew him very well. He used to say it was like my spiritual father. He said, Brian, if God tell you to jump to a wall, don't ask him how. Just jump. He said, you ain't see no way. If God tell you to jump, just jump. God will make the way as you go in. And he said this, and I prove it to be true. He said, Brian, anytime you're doing something for God, don't tell the brethren. I said, Brother Walker, what do you mean? He says, boy, you tell the brethren, they make you feel you're doing it for the devil. It's amazing the discouragement you had. Brother Ennis told me there was a brother who wanted to get on the radio years ago. Amongst brethren in those days, on the radio? Oh, are you kidding? You couldn't have a radio in your house, you know. Back then, you put out a fellowship. One brother went to listen to the radio and he said the guy been speaking all day and he took a glass of water and put in the radio because he said the man was thirsty. He didn't drink. He didn't stop to get drink. Listen, saints, the fact is there are some things that we should have allowed, but there is some things that, listen, we need to have vision for. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And we need vision for the times in which we live. We need to realize, brethren, indeed there are mobility in method, not in principle. Indeed, we cannot do, we could do things differently, but stick to the principles. Stick to the principles. And the truth is, boy, David, priestly function, David was the sweet psalmist. David set up the course of succession of serving in the temple. Yeah? Service of songs, David. Boy, David was tremendous. But a greater than David is here. Though he's David's greater son. So in leadership, I am in leadership. Saints, and it's, I cannot look at the brethren who gone years ago. And I cannot look at those who are coming. I am in leadership now. And I tell you, it's frightening. I believe, as one of those the Lord has placed in responsible position, I am praying more and talking less. There are some cases that are so difficult that you just have to leave to the Lord. And ask the Lord how long. Now, I'll say this in leadership. Sometimes, not sometimes, it's the principle of scripture. God removes a man morally, but he leaves him in a place officially. Let me explain this. Saul was disqualified from being king way in chapter 15 of the book of 1 Samuel. But God didn't remove him. God left him there. And so now the ways of God are past finding out. Why God didn't kill him one time and said, listen here, I reject you from being king, just move you away. No, God left him there. But morally, the man was disqualified. But officially, God removed him and raised up his king. God was training his king and present him. This is the man. This is my beloved. This is the one. But leadership, people are going to follow a leader who is taking them somewhere. Even Jim Jones took a lot of people to Guyana. Killed them off. Yeah? But we are talking about righteous, upright leaders who are following the Lord. This is what we need today. We need men who are not scared to call a spade. Wrong is wrong, right is right. Let the chips fall where they may. And this is leadership. This is David. And this is the time we need men to stand up like the sons of Issachar and said, listen here, we know what Israel ought to do. Let us make David king. And they came up 350,000 men. Came up to make David king. In other words, in New Testament language, to say, Lord Jesus, we will be your servants. Lord Jesus, you are Lord. Oh, I tell you, the Lordship of Christ. You know the truth of leadership. The truth of the Lordship of Christ is greatly lacking amongst us. This says if we know the truth of Lordship or kingdom truth, we'll have very few problems among the brethren. Very, very few. Because Lordship brings me under the claims, the authority, and rights of Christ. You have no rights, brethren. We have no rights. None at all. When I got saved, I give up my rights. And I give it up because I recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. Peter said it on the day of Pentecost. Let the whole house of Israel know assuredly that God had made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. That you may know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He died and rose again and be revived. That he may be Lord both of the living and the dead. It tells us in the book of Philippians. Indeed that God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What is the Lordship of Christ? I have a master. Master. And we have forgotten this. We have forgotten this in practice. In theory, oh, we know Jesus is Lord. But in practice, Lordship, you know, I always tell this story. When the slaves were held in the south of America, and their desire was to get north, the safest place was to head to Canada. When you go up on Niagara on the lake, it have a Negro cemetery. Men who, and women, who ran for their lives to get on soil of freedom. Well, there was this one slave running from his master, and his master on a horse. Boy, he crossed over into Canada, you know. Fight. When he crossed over, a white man on that side and a white man on the horse on the other border in America. And the man on the horse, the American says, throw him back over. Throw him over. And he looking at the other white man now. And he says, you going home with me. And the other guy on the said, throw him over. Throw him over, he's my slave. Hey, let me tell you this. There has been a transfer. We have been transferred from Adam to Christ. That transfer has taken place. And we have a new master. We have been brought into a new... Listen, the man was so overwhelmed, he started to cry. He said, look, a man want to take me back, to whip me again. And here is this man mocking me. Because he said to him, you're going home with me. When the man took him home and brought him into his house and says, this room is yours. Man couldn't faint away. Faint away. It was too good to be true. Saints, imagine the beauty of the fact we have a new master. And I'll use one of Psalm illustrations. Indeed, there was a slave girl. Indeed, and a beautiful girl. In those days, you know, a slave didn't want nothing. But there was this bidding going on. A bidding for her, man. Boy, price going up. People just stop bidding. This man won the bid. And said, let's go home. On the way home, the girl just fill her mouth with spittle and spat right in his face. The man took out a kerchief, wiped his face. And he says, you don't understand. You don't understand what I just did. Here. And he gave her the ticket, the receipt of her purchase. So I just purchased you to set you free. She began to cry too. And she says, if you, that kind of master, I want to serve you. I tell you, saints, Jesus Christ is Lord. But it's not a hard taskmaster. But we must bow to the Lordship of Christ. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. And we ought to glorify God in our bodies and in our bodies, which belongs to Him. It tells us we are a new creation in Christ. And this is what these in picture, in type are saying. We are going to pledge our allegiance to David. Well, saints, we trust this weekend we are going to rededicate our allegiance to Him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But also, they made him head of the nations. And saints, I want to close with this headship. Headship. There are three kinds of headship. Administrative. Then after is organically and racially. These are good words. When we talk in racially, it's not black and white and Chinese and Indian. Okay? I'll explain that. When it comes to the administrative side of things, let me turn to some verses. In the book of Romans, and chapter 5, and verse 14. Chapter 5 and verse 40. Nevertheless, that reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that is to come. Now, Adam is a picture of the headship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now this great truth of headship is needed today. If lordship brings before us my individual responsibility before the Lord, and do you know, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, these two lines of truth is found, the headship of Christ and the lordship of Christ. When there was chaos in the fellowship at the breaking of bread, the lordship of Christ came to bear upon the disorder. I tell you, listen, you will find saints believe they could behave how they want. It's not true. It's not true. You have to give an answer to your Lord in a day to come. So when you see rebellious Christians. One guy says, do you believe they are rebellious Christians? I leave that for you to answer. A rebellious Christian. Isn't that something? It's a paradox. That's a person who have not bowed and owned the Lordship of Christ. Yes, he is, but I don't recognize him just like some of the children of Israel. So Christ, Adam, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we are reading verse 21 and 22. Far above, he had highly exalted him, far above principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And had put all things under his feet, and give him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 18. And he is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now headship brings before us guidance, direction, control. We look at our very own body. But Christ is head of the assembly. This truth is really opened up for us in the book of Colossians. They were in danger. They were losing sight of holding the head. And the thing is, they were dabbling into philosophy and all the traditions of men and voluntary worship of angels, not holding the head. Since the same truth of the word of God, it tells us if the Laodicean church was in the good of the headship of Christ, that this epistle was to be read in the church at Laodicea, and the epistle to Laodicea was to be read at Colossae. And what happened? Jesus is outside the door. The headship of Christ is abandoned. Because all of us together are members one of another. He is head. It brings before us some sense of harmony. And you ask, well, what is happening in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10? In the world to come, the Lord Jesus, all things are going to be head up under him. And he is going to administrate all things for God. That day will be glorious. Why it is somewhat of that cannot be seen amongst us now? You know why? The headship of Christ is set aside. We don't know much about it since. It needs to be gone over again. Christ is head of the assembly. This diatrophy spirit is my place. A dear brother came to me and he said, another place, my pastor, tell me I have to buy some blocks. They're putting up a new hall. I got to buy some blocks. And God tell him in a dream, I have to buy 1,000 blocks. He says, you think that's true? I say, well, if he say that, you go to God and ask God if it came from him. Came from him. A guy came to me, he says, Brother Brian, the devil tell me I'm phony. I start to laugh. He said, what are you laughing at? I say, boy, if Jesus had tell you that, I would have been scared. But the devil tell you so. Hey, saints, let me say this. We get direction from the head. We get nourishment from him. He ministers to the body. And when a body is functioning well, I tell you, it's amazing what will happen. Me, I getting up there, think I'm a young guy, going with some young explorers. We had a camp over the weekend, yeah, playing football. I still have some skills, things. Still have some skills. But I tell you, I got so much kick. All my foot was bruised up. I'm still in pain from some of those kicks. Chop on my, I said, what is this? When I come home, my wife said, you want to play young boy? You go ahead. You want to play young boy? What I'm seeing since is this. It's wonderful that we get together. We could have a game. But imagine if you and I recognize Jesus as head of the assembly and wait on Him, wait on His direction, wait on His leading and the prompting of the Spirit of God. I tell you, it will be harmony amongst the saints. Harmony. This is what. But when it comes to the body, He's not only head administratively, but it tells us He's head also organically. In the sense that all life, all this vibrant union, it is the desire and the need and the responsibility of the head to feed the body, that the body will increase and will be sustained. I took, my doctor said to me, listen, you need a checkup. I went and get checkup. And the test came back. Saints. She says to Mr. Baptist, you're healthy. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But she says, you know, you're getting old, you know. You're getting old. I say, I know that. But as long as God give me the energy, I said to her, I will not be stopped. Not be stopped. All I need, if God give it to me, I'll use it up. Use it up. The thing is this, saints, we are members one of another. This truth is a truth always presented by the brethren since I come. But practice is a different thing. Different thing. This practice, years ago in the South, Black people couldn't go into some churches because the oneness of the body was not practiced. There, you know, I could remember, you know, myself, why I used to think before I got saved, why white people, why I feel I could knock down every one of them. Before I got saved, I used to think that way. I used to think, boy, Indians, I grew up among the Indians. Why fight with them, boy, fight. My friend, one of my best friends, came to the States and he went to Jamaica. He living up in Jamaica Avenue. Only Indians. So I said to him, I said, Peter boy, this place full of Indians. He said, but Brian, what do you think I am? Then I look at the man head. He's an Indian. Saints, listen. In the body of Christ, we have no place, no place for this foolishness that the world carry on with. Huh? I've slept in white beds, I've slept in black beds, I've slept in Indian bed, I've slept all over the place. Indeed, and I tell you, the blessings is tremendous, this body into which we have been brought. I tell you, I've slept all over the place. I went to Northern Ireland, had to beg them for my wife and I to stay in a hotel, and they was offended. He said, why did you want to stay in a hotel? And we have a bed. I said, man, please, let me stay in a hotel with my wife, the man. You know, we come so far. And they said, and I get permission. Since the first time, I said this already, the first time I went up to a place called Newcastle, they tell me somebody is going to wait for me up there and pick me up on the train. I came off the train. The only black guy on the train. I came off and on the platform. Up and down, nobody, one lady. All of a sudden, is like she mustered some courage and came to me and says, "Are you Brian Baptiste?" I said, "Yes, I am." She started to laugh. So I said, "What happened?" She says, "Brother, they tell me you were 300 pounds and 6'2". So she wanted to know what happened. I says, and they had it mixed up. We went home. Never saw the sister in my life the first time. We went home. We had a laugh. Laughing, joy, fellowship. This is the body of Christ. This is the fellowship into which we have been brought. And I tell you, some of you need to travel. Travel to know, indeed, how wonderful this fellowship is. It's grand. Ask Larry. I slept in Larry's bed so many times. He can himself come. I drive his car. He give me his keys for his car. Drive it all over Pennsylvania. That's the kind of fellowship we have, saints. This is what we want to see in the Caribbean. Caring for one another. Listen, this fellowship is grand. Don't judge the fellowship by what you see in the Caribbean. And don't judge the fellowship based on what you see in your country or your island. Judge the fellowship based on the headship of Christ. Indeed, he is going to supply what the body needs. Saints, it's grand to be a Christian. But I tell you, they can't run me out of brethren, you know. No, sir. You will leave, not me. God brought me here. And I am going to stay. So get used to me. Yes, I tell them, get used to me. Nobody going to discourage me for me to leave, brethren. And said, "Oh yeah? Oh, that's too bad for you." Too bad, because I see the lordship. I see the headship of Christ. And I see the leadership. We need leaders today in the Caribbean. We don't need leaders like these politicians, you know. No. Indeed, I wouldn't speak about your prime minister here. I'll leave that alone. I could speak about Dougie, because Dougie is my prime minister. Indeed, he has been deposed. He has been removed. Not because of the vote. It's because God says enough is enough. Indeed, they could try to stay as long as they want. God says it's time. But saints, I never voted in St. Kitts. Never. They come up in my house. My neighbor is a Labour. My neighbor back of me is Pam. And the neighbor across there is Labour. And the one down in front of me is Labour. And the one across there is Pam. All I know them. They come and said to me, "Listen, my neighbor says, out of my house, I give Labour four votes. They didn't come up this time because I wasn't in the country. I was abroad. But how passionate people are for their party. It's amazing, you know. Boy, I tell you, passionate, my man. One guy said to me, "When Dougie come on, is I am the boss. I am bring on the boss." Hey, the boss is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. So we leave politics alone. Politics for the politician. But Christ for the Christian. And we keep that in mind. Okay? But then after, I want to close, saints, with the verse in the book of Romans, chapter 5. We didn't get to it. Chapter 5, 11 to the end. There's also, he's a head over federal race. Saints, we get all from Adam. Sin, we were made sin because of Adam. But becoming under the headship of Christ, having been transferred from Adam to Christ, we come, know, and receive everything from him. Hey, let's display Christ, no man. Let's, we got righteousness. We got justification. We got eternal life. Indeed, we have abundance of grace. Indeed, reigning. And we ask ourselves, which head am I displaying? Collectively, let's come to this point, saints, where we recognize and put Jesus as the leader, as Lord, and as head. Not because the scripture says so, but because we put it in practice. They came and made David king. And for us, is Lord. He's Lord over all. Blessed forever. The Lordship of Christ. Tell your saints, is something we need to look into very carefully, deeply, and the headship of Christ and the leadership of Christ. Let us together this week end in practice. Ask the Lord to demonstrate this in our lives. We are going to follow Him. We are going to follow Him. And the general, I'll close with this. There's a general that came back from the war. And as he was coming in, his men salute him. Say, "General." Then on his path, he met his servants. He says, "Master." Then he went a little further. He met his son. Son said, "Daddy." But when he came to his wife says, "Sweetheart." Saints, we have an intimate, wonderful relationship with Christ. His heart is for us. And all he's asking, will your heart be for me? Will you surrender your rights? You have done that already. But do it in a practical way. Recognize him as head of the assembly, the church. And let us follow him and realize that the just shall live by faith. Boy, when Habakkuk, I'll close. When Habakkuk realized everything is gone, he went up on the housetop and the watchtower and he got a glimpse of the coming of the Lord, and he saw the sun coming up. Oh, what a revelation. That's the appearing. But for us, we wait for the blessed hope of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, the coming of the Lord for us. But then he came to the great question. He said, "Boy, if there be no herd in the store, the vine shall fail. No meat, the olive shall fail." Everything. He said, "Yet still, I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll joy in the God of my salvation." That's faith. Saints, it's some things we cannot see. But there's some things we have to do. We have to live by faith and follow him. May God help us. Let us set him up. Let us set him up as the leader. Let us set him up as Lord. And let us set him up in practice as head, for his name's sake. Amen.